All right, welcome out, everyone, all of you great decoders around the world, wherever you may be, male and female, always. My name is Logan, Decode Your Reality, and I am joined once again by the great Ola from Poland. And ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to correct myself on the last podcast that Ola and I did, and I ended up spelling her first name wrong, and I had told her about it, and she's like, it doesn't matter, it was meant to be. So when you look at the name underneath her face on this video, you're going to see it spelled without the Y, and I made that error. So I just wanted to correct myself on that coming into this. And this is going to be Let's Talk About Exiting the Matrix Part 2. We had such a great draw. A lot of you joined in to watch our take on Let's Exiting the Matrix. So a big shout out to all of you. A lot of love going out to all of you. Really appreciate you coming and joining in for Part 2. And I'm really excited to share information that I have, and I'm really excited to hear the information that Ola has that she's going to share, because it's been a minute since we got together. We were supposed to do this podcast, Ola, back in March? Back in March, and here it is almost 6 months later, and we're now just finally getting to this. So life just goes by so quickly, but I'm really excited that we're able to come together at just different parts of the world. You know, you being up there in the very high end parts of the Arctic and me being down here towards the equator. So it's a very interesting dichotomy going on. We have you getting polarized up there and me getting polarized down here. So, yeah. So we're going to have some fun with this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to extend upon what it means to maybe some people don't want to be here anymore. Right. And I think the search for the meaning of life is exciting. Trying to figure out, what does it mean to be a human being? And are we just stuck here? Is there a way to get out of this reality? How valuable is astrology, whatever system you use, numerology? Can these be tools to enlighten you and to basically, you know, get you to graduate to a higher level in this reality? Is that what this whole reality is all about? So there's a lot of layers since Ola and I have talked on how this reality works for me personally. And I know Ola, you know, we really haven't even caught up that much, you know? So I know there's a lot of things that you have done in between when we first got together. So without further ado, I'm going to give you the floor. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. We're going to pull up your charts. People want to get to know who you are. And it's been my pleasure to kind of do that for you. But what's going on up there in your part of the world?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me back. And this is absolute pleasure. I love our chats offline and online. So really, really happy to be back. And yes, I've been getting some questions about my own chart. So why am I doing what I'm doing? And why is this kind of, ballsy woman who is very logical, but kind of in this female body, which I supposedly don't come across very masculine, which is always a bonus. Let's have a look into that a little bit later. Why am I even interested in those things, right? And why this alchemy side, which is something that we flirted with a little bit last time. So the getting out of the matrix, obviously my sort of take on it, my view, which is not so much just mine, because I never consider myself researcher per se. I sort of consider myself more of someone who has been exposed to certain teachings, come across certain wisdom, and as a result of that, I'm able to share some things. So yes, a lot has been happening in a year. I think it's been almost a year, if not over, since our last time. I've definitely been focusing. I've brought the alchemy side into my focus much more than it was when we probably spoke last time, including being able to host some events here in the Arctic. So one is behind us, one is ahead of us, or two. One is in Poland, actually. So it's been pretty hectic. It's been pretty busy. I think that in terms of what you want to cover today, I might be bringing some good news, even though the latest, I think, is a little bit disappointing with some new lockdowns potentially on the way. But hey, when the madness has no end, right?
Yeah. Let's kind of maybe we can talk about that first, just to kind of get people's attention on this possible event being put together. I'll let you kind of describe it, but Ola has this amazing event that she hosted. You've done two now up in the Arctic.
I've done one.
Okay. I thought you did two. Why did I think you did two?
Because I have two coming.
Okay. Gotcha. So this is like a retreat, right? Everybody knows what a retreat is. And so Ola has this retreat up in the Arctic, way up as far, almost as far as you can go in leprechaun land. Right. And I want to go because it's so beautiful up there. And it's a land of enchantment, right? In so many ways. And so Ola has put together an event to where you can fly out up into the Arctic. It's all everything's included, lodging, food, tour guides, the whole nine yards. And there's a trip that she's putting together for next year, with I think the summer, right? The summer of next year. And if this is all going to be able to take place, then I'm working on getting my butt up there and seeing the land of enchantment. So I want to see some leprechauns. You say they exist up there, so I want to see.
Absolutely.
I want to see them.
Absolutely. So I'm normally quite allergic to the word retreat. I just call it, a gathering, a getaway. I called it last time a getaway, Arctic getaway. So the event in June, that was with that kind of focus on, this place, this land. I don't know, we had a chance to go so much into the local legends and the mythology. This land goes by the legendary name of Hyperborea, so there's a lot of speculation here as well, reflected in the local legends and the mythology, including even Edda, that this land has that kind of ancient roots, and this obviously also reflected in the Norse mythology. A lot going on up here, in not just in the Arctic, but specifically this area where I'm hosting these events. So the energy, but this is something, again, this is something you have to come and experience. And we've spoken about it, right? I've been telling you about it so many times. I cannot describe it. You have to be here. You have to experience. This is a land of those giant trees. We have quite a lot of those. Obviously, you have to know what you're looking for. All cut down, but those energy centers are very, very active, especially I think in the context of the current times. So that was the experience in June. And so of course we're now switching the gears, because the summer and the winter in the Arctic, totally two different things. So my next event is planned for November, early November. And please do not get scared, okay? Winter in the Arctic really, really starts sort of around December, January, that kind of proper winter with snow. So by November, unless my friends across the fjord in NASA are not going to play with the weather, I think we should be safe on pretty okay conditions.
Yeah.
Not too cold and not too snowy. But obviously the Northern Lights. So the November theme is more of that kind of hibernation. It's obviously winter in the Arctic. We're not gonna be getting that much daylight, maybe 6 hours. So a bit of a journey. Well, I don't want to say within. I want to say to the underworld. So that's the theme, the underworld saga. So a bit of Norse theme and a bit of the underworld. Return of the Titans. What does that mean? The Titans, again, obviously in mythology, I don't recommend pulling up the Wikipedia or the kind of first three Google searches, because we know the drill, right? With the history being faked and twisted. So the Titans, the original children of Gaia, we are the Titans, according to those original interpretations of those texts, we are the Titans, the humans, and the return of the Titans at Ragnarok, which is the end. It's not exactly the end of the world. In the Old Norse language, Ragnarok is the end of the gods. So it's the demise of the gods, not humans. So that's an interesting thing, right? I think we are right there at Ragnarok right now. So I'm kind of interested in exploring a little bit of that theme in the context of current events. And this event is open to both men and women. We will be
awesome.
Diving right into those things.
Right into it, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if this trip, I mean, my goal is to go next year in the summer. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a warm kind of guy. And so if this is something that interests you, going up to the islands of Norway, like it's almost as far as you can go, where you're in an isolated area, where you have beautiful scenery around you, and leprechauns are running around, and you're getting almost full 24-hour sunlight, taking full advantage of that, and having tour guides, and everything's inclusive. It's a pretty badass trip, to say the least. And so when Ola had mentioned that she had done one, and I was like, oh man, I would love to. I'm going to come up, even if I'm not even part of it. I want to come up and experience, because I've been wanting to since you and I first did our podcast, and I started doing some footage on where you're at, and it's so beautiful and mystical, and it's a land of enchantment. So if this is something that interests you, like, oh, that's pretty cool, maybe I would consider doing that. Next year's quite a ways away. What would be the best way for people that are interested in this trip for next year to get a hold of you, or even for this upcoming November? What would they do? Just email you, or
just email me, and you can find all the details of this trip on the website, on my website, under the events, so it's easy navigation there.
Yep.
So you can read up sort of the whole program and what's planned, what's the idea. Obviously, I am also monitoring the situation currently across the world, with potentially, more fireworks coming up. So, yep. So we will see if we have to perhaps tweak the program a little bit, or it's flexible. This is all done in the kind of spirit of understanding what's going on. So, yep. so don't worry, guys, about sort of losing your money here, because I am fully aware of what's going on. So we're just gonna have to play it by ear. Next year event, we will see. I think it's still in that kind of birthing phase. Absolutely, we're gonna look into what would be the most suitable and the best. But absolutely, honestly, what I'm trying to do is to make Norway Arctic accessible to people financially, because Norway has that reputation of being very expensive, and it is. If you try to perhaps do it on your own, it's gonna hurt a little bit, unless you obviously the money is not a concern. So I'm really, really trying here to make it accessible for people. So this is not a VIP trip. I'm trying to make it as financially sort of viable as possible, right? Doable for as many people as they can.
Yeah.
Because I think I honestly feel, I'm not from here. I fell in love with this place. I'm from south of Europe, south from here. So for me to be actually living here and choosing to want to be here, something must be on. And I really, really wish that as many people as possible could experience this.
Yeah, there you have it. So I'm going to leave all the information, if this is interests you, for next year, the tentative trip being planned out. Mm-hmm. I'll leave all the information, Ola's links, so you can just click on those, go to her website, self-master request, and get in contact if you're interested, if you want a little bit more information. This is how you're going to go about doing that. So shifting gears, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about exiting the matrix. We had such a big pull on the very first podcast because, when Ola was talking about her ideas and how she feels the way is to exit the matrix, if there is a way, right? She was talking about kind of going down instead of going up, going down into the underworld instead of, going towards maybe this idea of the light, right? And it's so dynamic, this whole idea. Where do you go? Where do you start? How is it possible? Is it even possible? And I thought maybe what we could first discuss and then move into your charts to show people like what makes you such a special tour guide, you know, because like I did a reading for a woman. Big shout out to Tiffany. And she's like, you know, Logan, you're a tour guide. And so like, it's like, well, Ola, I think you are too. Like, I think a lot of people are tour guides. I think we incarnated with an objective to be someone who will guide people towards the natural evolution of what it means to be a human being. Like, where are we going? Are the Titans coming back? The rise of the Titans, as you said, like we're the Titans. And I couldn't agree more. Right. But the, you know, this yuga topic, the yugas, if you're somebody who fancies the yugas, which is, you know, the stages of life. And, you know, I for a long time, I was thinking that, man, you know, like it sounds like we're in the Kali Yuga. There are four stages, and it's Golden Age to Dark Age. The Dark Age is Kali Yuga. You're the farthest away from source energy. That you're on the descent. You're on the decline. But the good news, if there is such a thing, is that the yugas then, once you get to the bottom, once you get into the hellish regions, the Kali Yuga, where you're the farthest away from source, you then start to ascend back up towards the light, towards the golden age. So it's like going down into the cellar, right? And you emerge down into the darkness. And then if you want to go back up, you know, you look up and through the doorway, there's the light. And this is the whole concept behind the yugas. And so I just was assuming, man, it feels like we're in the Kali Yuga stage. We're in the dark ages galore because of what's going on. But there are a lot of texts coming out, and there are a lot of like people that are really into the yugas that have a lot of authoritative voices saying that we're not in the Kali Yuga. We are actually in the second stage of ascension called Dwarpa. And this is the copper age, and it will contain the age of electricity, and it fits the narrative of the age of Aquarius, but I'm still working on how it fits into the astrology wheel because it's very complex. But let's kind of start there. What is your take on the yugas, Ola? And then how does this fit into like, let's exiting the matrix? Like, how would that fit into that narrative, do you think, with the yugas and how complex this whole thing is?
So I think we have sort of few things to look into when we consider that, and I hope I'm not gonna forget half of them as I go along. But one thing is the yugas, so the sort of concept of yugas itself, right? When you sort of look into that, there's obviously an issue of calculations, how long they are, and there are different schools or perhaps different views calculating them, some Kali Yuga, into millions of years, and then there is this opposing view that suggests that this is an error in calculation, and in fact, that is not the sort of right estimation. We're dealing more with something in the thousands of years rather than millions, and that then takes us. And of course, this is analyzed against some of the Vedic texts, which are suggesting that if you do the math, Kali Yuga would have ended around the sort of early 2000s. Of right now, yeah, we're talking sort of 20 years ago. So the interesting thing is that when you look to the Mayas, and of course we have the 2012, which has been misinterpreted as the end of the world. It is not the end of the world. It is end of an era, end of a cycle, right? So they had their clock, and this is not the end of the world. This is end of certain cycles. So there are parallels that can be drawn between those two, amongst other things, suggesting that, look, ancient clocks, ancient mechanism, pretty much coming up, indicating that the Kali Yuga ends literally few years, you know, with an error or perhaps, literally under 10 years difference, right? So the question here is, okay, so now we are obviously moving, like you said, we're moving up. Great, but you know, this is not a binary process. We're not cutting off one and moving directly into the other. So it's obviously things are going to be
gradual,
gradual, and this is not a sort of stepwise approach. So however, the key thing is, each yuga or each period, each cycle is bringing a certain energy with it. And when that energy finishes, when it's terminated, when that time sort of passes, certain activities are not supported anymore. So you see, we are literally what it seems between, or you might say we are in that new the next era. However, we are still feeling a bit of that old breath on our backs. That's one side of those cycles. But if we look in a even grander context, there are two more things going on. We know about the age of Aquarius, although that is obviously much smaller cycle because these are going around sort of 26, 20, 25 and something thousand years, right? So this is not something that we necessarily need to compare to those grander cycles. However, as it happens, they kind of align here. So we are standing at the gateway, as I always say, the gateway to the Aquarius, which again, that's gradual as well, while Kali Yuga is slipping away. And there is a third one, which very often gets totally missed, and it's actually very important. That is the fact, and anybody can sort of check that, at winter solstice, the sun is aligned perfectly to the center of Milky Way galaxy. That is not something that happens very, very often. So we have three major cycles aligning at the same time, which makes the time that we're living in really, really special.
Yep.
So what is the significance of it? Well, the significance of it is that even when you look into things in a sort of scientific way, with a scientific eye, there are multiple physics institutes across the world, in Russia, you know, those that are not necessarily serving the agenda immediately. They are reporting that there is some kind of influx of cosmic energy that they cannot exactly identify. However, it seems to be exponentially rising over the recent years, with the beginning being 2017, which is a very interesting date. I'll tell you why. So here we are with all those three massive cycles aligning, plus some kind of cosmic event taking place, as in some kind of energy coming in. It is not only energy coming in from the cosmos. Specifically, it seems to be originating at the Milky Way galaxy center, at that black hole with which the sun is perfectly in alignment at winter solstice. So we're just heading there. On top of that, this energy is being reported to be also coming up, like rising up from the center of the earth, as in what, from the underworld? Interesting. Right. So, and this is measurable. This is, you see, this is not some kind of speculation or some, you know, new agey channeling. This is, yeah, this is measured.
Sure.
So the question is, what is this energy? Where is it coming from? Why now? What is the significance of the sun alignment to the Milky Way galaxy center? Well, the sun, if I kind of detour for a minute, the sun right now, I think, even if we consider astrology, numerology, it has that kind of masculine energy connotation, right? But that is again the matrix overlay, the matrix hand put upon the original interpretation, because when you dig to the ancient cultures, to the cultures of pretty much regardless of geography, in every culture of the old days, the sun has a feminine connotation. So the sun is feminine. The sun is a portal. So if we look through that lens, the sun alignment to the Milky Way galaxy, which is what? Well, we're told by the same scientists who are measuring this influx of energy, they tell us that everything, all matter, is born out of a black hole. So what is it, right? Is that some kind of womb? Is that some kind of birthing ground? So there is some kind of energy coming from that black hole towards the sun, which acts as a portal and sends or sort of passes or allows that energy to enter this plane. And this is major, this is significant. What kind of energy am I talking about? The dark energy. not the dark energy, isn't some kind of darkness is coming, but you know, the dark energy, the one that fills up the almost entirety of this universe, right? When they measure the sort of physical things versus this energy, it is like 99.999%. So, but this energy has actually a direction. It is coming at us. It is not just out there. It is coming this way, so towards the sun and through the sun here. It is being literally reported, it's measured here on Earth. And no, I'm not talking about the Schumann resonance. So what is this energy? How interesting that, you know, all those alignments are happening at the same time. And if you look to the tradition of the Templars, and, you know, before I get, you know, any connotation with the Illuminati and the Freemasons, the tradition of the Templars, okay, there are two different traditions within the Templars, or there were. One is the outer tradition, that official, the one, you know, that spawned the bankers and the banking system and the ones that own everything and obviously all the wealth, etc., etc. And yes, that later sort of transited into the Freemasonry and all those kind of secret societies. But there is another part of the Templars, which is the inner tradition of the Templars. And this is where we get a lot of the alchemical teachings from. But this is not where they originated, but this is where they got passed down through. So, for example, the cathedrals being built in a certain way, certain architecture that cannot be replicated even now. This is all the result of the teachings of the inner tradition of the Templars. And what do they tell us? What did they quote in the messages? That there is something very special that is going to happen 2017 to 2025. Did they give us the dates? No, they gave us a sign. What is the sign? The sign that was reported and even confirmed by the Vatican in 2017, which is the great sign in the sky, right? So we have the constellation Virgo, a woman or a virgin clothed in the sun with a crown of 12 stars above her head, and she was with a child, she was pregnant, and the moon at her feet. That is a and you know that very well, right? That
for
is
sure
astronomical event. So that nobody sort of showed up in the sky, no goddess. It's an astronomical event. Constellation Virgo, the sun just entered Virgo, the 12 stars, the crown that was sort of formed by the constellation Leo, the stars of constellation Leo, plus a few planets, Mars, Venus, and Mercury, that were sort of behind the sun, the moon at the feet of Virgo. So the moon was leaving constellation Virgo, it was literally at the feet of Virgo. And she was, and Jupiter was also in Virgo, so the pregnancy. But there is, you see, there is a very alchemical and esoteric meaning of that. So even Vatican at the time, they have an observatory, which is quite interesting, right? That they are looking at the sky too. Even they reported, they confirmed, this sign is not only a sign that comes from the Templars tradition, it is in the Apocalypse. It is reflected in many other traditions. So this is not something that's you know, a major discovery here, but the fact that it happened in 2017 and then sort of opened up a domino effect of events, which the Templars sort of dated for about 8 years. So 2017, 2025, right? And how interesting that all that is happening in the midst of those three amazing cycles, also as it seems, coming together. So when you put the last 3 years in the context of all that, I would suggest that probably what's happening is the energy to sustain this level of control, tyranny, misery, the energy is no longer there. So they are trying their hardest. And they don't have much time because the energy, as you can see, it's kind of rolling.
They're losing their grip,
Absolutely. So this is the kind of good news here, because they are really, really losing time. They cannot stop these processes. They do not have that kind of power. They cannot prevent them. They cannot manage them. The only thing that they can do is obviously, you know, manage and control us, which is what they've been doing.
Yep.
So this is that kind of context that I would put those events in.
Yeah, it's so fast. Thanks for sharing all that, right? Because you mentioned 2017. Well, in 2017, there was a patent that was granted, and the patent was on something called nanotechnology.
Right.
And if you put two and two together and you tie that into what's going on in the world stage right now, which I think is coming around again, is tied to nanotechnology. And you get into graphene oxide and all those kinds of technologies, right? And this was granted in 2017. And it's so interesting because when you pull up the astrological map for the patent, so I have a decode coming out on this, where was Mercury? For this patent, Mercury was in the 19th nakshatra.
Hmm.
It was called C19. So it seems like Mercury has its place as being the messenger. And this whole technology, this nanotechnology, is where you basically have a cell. And when it opens, then it can communicate to the rest of the body. And this is where you get into what's going on the world stage. And then this is the last, I think this is kind of interesting because, as you said, there's good news here, right? Because they're losing their grip. And they say they, it's like, okay, well, like the people that have the temporary control, because they can't have permanent control. So this is the good news. And is this the way we technically exit the matrix? Literally seeing that the complete foundation of it is starting to crumble, it's starting to fall. And it's because of, like, when you look at the yugas, you know, and I feel the way this reality works is through waves. Vibrational frequency, sound waves, et cetera, et cetera. It moves in a trough. It's like a up and down motion. And this is the way the yugas work. And then you fit the astrological wheel as it spins, as it moves through time. But we were going down. We were going into the descent, as I mentioned. And now we've come through the trough of the very bottom, like scraping the bottom of the barrel. And these time frames you mentioned, with the alignment of the planetary positions and the pregnancy of Virgo being what, the largest constellation span from tip to tip, right? I think Virgo is the biggest. Why Virgo is so, like, it's six, and carbon through alchemy is tied to Virgo. Virgo is the lover's card in the tarot. That's Adam and Eve. And Virgo is the virgin which gave birth to the Christ. And then you have across the way is Pisces and the two fish. So it's just really fascinating how all these things work and how they fit into the context of the yugas. And then we have this whole aspect that you mentioned about the control being lost. And then this last ditch effort to do whatever it takes to hold on to that control, because the fear of losing it is something that obviously those in the power positions don't want to experience. It's like, as a human being, when you personally, you as the listener, when you start to lose control of your health, you start to freak out. When you start to lose control of your personal relationship, you start to freak out. When you start to lose control of, you know, your employees, you start to freak out. When you lose control of things in your life as a human being, what do? We all do it. We start to kind of freak out. We stress out. And then we start doing things that are kind of maybe uncharacteristic, like, of what it means to be a human being. And now you're talking about people that, in my opinion, incarnated to work for Darth Vader, be the Darth Vaders. And when they start to lose the control, then they really go to extremes to try to hold on to that power. And we're starting to see the beauty of that ain't happening anymore. That's not happening anymore. And that's the beautiful part. And this is why people like Ola and, like, these are the tour guides coming out to show you, hey, man, like, there's nothing to fear. Like, you know, you've probably done this before, you know, and now we're like, it's not like you had said, it's not a flash where there's a complete reset and then the world just changes instantly overnight. Now, is there going to be a Phoenix event, Jason Brashears, our kicks? I mean, you would think so, right? That there's going to be some kind of clearing of the board, so to speak, to kind of wipe out the deceiving part of life, et cetera, to make way for this new energy coming in as we ascend back towards nature. And you were talking about the center point. And I think it's I think it's called Vishnu's navel. Is it? Is it not the center of the of this, the center of the Milky Way, or the kind of correlation to that?
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, I think that what we also have to remember is that everything in this reality, as it's being presented to us, including the language of numerology, the language of astrology, it is literally utilizing something that was in place before, something that was actually not there to control us. It was doing different things, and it has been sort of hijacked and utilized with a very advanced technology. Because of course you mentioned that these people who are sort of here playing the bad guy, they incarnated, but they're not, they kind of they are the middleman, right? So we know that there is obviously that kind of context of some kind of other civilization, some kind of invaders, if you like, whether we look through the Sumerian lens, the Anunnaki, whether we look through the other lens, and we kind of see the Yahweh, the Jehovah, the reptilians, etc., which is pretty much the archons, right, of the Gnostic text. We're talking about the same type of entities, of the same type of beings. And the way this works for them, or it worked, is that they had a very, and they have a very, very advanced technology. I mean, think about it, right? What kind of technology are we talking about to be able to create a mechanism that is clearly mathematical, in, you know, under the sort of surface here, clearly based on some kind of code and some kind of programming, like computer. I mean, there's almost a binary language used. This is why it can be translated into astrology, into numerology, into other type of codes. There is a technology behind it, probably some very high advanced sort of computer language programming of certain things going on here, utilizing something that's already been in place. So this is part of the trick, because we are now sitting here confused, looking at, you know, for example, like you mentioned, constellation Virgo, right? Like, obviously we can extend that into all those tarot cards meanings, as in that's the six, that's the lovers, or this is the number six and this is what it means. But the constellation Virgo, and this is where I'm always pulling back to alchemy, because alchemy does not bow down to astrology. Alchemy, the feminine alchemy, the alchemy, not the sort of masculine, the patriarchal alchemy that they came up with, not that one, that our original alchemy, it does not bow down to any of it. This is our original birthright in terms of how we were created and the kind of powers that we can access. So the Virgo constellation is talking to that kind of alchemical energy in a woman, the virgin energy, the maiden energy, right? And her showing up pregnant. The pregnancy is not physical, as in this, it doesn't talk about women suddenly falling pregnant. It talks about women using the Holy Grail inside of them, which is something that I think I mentioned last time, right? The Holy Grail is not to be dug out from anywhere. It is the womb of an alchemical woman, of a woman who's awakened to herself, to her alchemy. So the pregnancy is not physical per se. It is that pregnancy whereby that Virgo is using the alchemical vessel again to materialize certain energies that are coming in, which is what I mentioned before. And you see, and an interesting thing, extension to the Aquarius. How do I know that? How can we even draw such parallel? Because Aquarius, again, in the matrix, if you look up what Aquarius looks like as a constellation, it's a man holding a pitcher pouring water, right? That's a misinterpretation. This is incorrect. Aquarius is not a man, it's a woman. Mythologically, a woman holding a pitcher, pouring water of life, that's Heber. So Aquarius, end of age of Aquarius, is in fact the age of return of that alchemical woman, of a woman who is back yet again, just like the witches of the past, just like the women of the ancient mystery schools. They are able to access that feminine alchemical power, which women have lost contact with. And there is everything being done for the past several thousand years for women to be disconnected from that power. And we know that, and we can see that, right? I mean, Cathars were killed for that, Templars were killed for that, because they had that wisdom. They brought that wisdom from the Middle East, remnants of some of those teachings. And then we obviously have the witches. Everybody burned at the stake. Why? What was so scary, right? And this is right now very clearly, we are told in so many ways with so many symbols in the sky, including that this is the time where the return of that energy, the return of women, of that alchemy is the key to sort of unlocking something and to be taking us, in that kind of step change into that next phase, into that next yuga or cycle, right? So yeah, I mean, Phoenix event, I don't know if there's going to be something specific, or is it going to be the fact that literally it is a game changer, if that can happen.
Mm. Yeah, great points, right? I think, you know, you touched on the witches being burned at the stake and, you know, these stories that we read in books and ancient texts and all that. You know, you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, if you just kind of use your mind here now, like you're talking about going back to centuries ago and that time frame, if you know, because when I was studying the yugas personally, I'm like, yeah, if you compare now to, let's say, you know, World War I, World War II, I mean, we haven't had one of those, you know, in a really long time, like where it was a massive die-off, you know, a lot of people being killed. And then you go back to the Viking Age and this, and then you go back to some of these ancient texts where people were just barbaric, you know, mm-hmm. and they would just kill you just to take whatever they want from you. And it was not. And so this is, and the witches and all that, like, was this the true bottom of the Kali Yuga, like the Dark Age? And then you're having people incarnate and you're in such a dark space where you're so separate from source that when somebody incarnates as what would be clarified or classified as a witch, they're a straight up demon, right? They're, because they're now, they're tapping into something that's not, it's not, the people aren't ready for it. You know, like astrology and numerology, and as you mentioned, you bring up a great point. These have been around forever, right? But it's what you utilize them for. And when you're in a dark space, when you're in the dark age and everything around you really is just hunkering down to keep you pushed down and suppressed, and you have tyranny and all the things that we're seeing here, then people look at us, they want a savior. They want something to relieve the suffering. And of course, this to me is where the church comes in. And I think the church has been completely, you know, deified. It's been created in the dark age. So when you create something out of darkness where it's completely, really classically in the cellar, well, then what do you think it's going to give birth to? Mm-hmm. Right. And then like the ascension of the yugas, and we're going back up. We've reached the bottom, it seems. And now we're going back up, and then we're just going to gradually move back towards source. And we're doing that through technology, if you want to call it that. Numerology, astrology, it's been around. I mean, you think about it. Let's just assume we're in the golden age. What would astrology look like in the golden age, where the golden age is where you don't crave anything, your ego doesn't crave anything, you can instantly manifest anything you want at any time. There's no fighting, there's no evil. You know, that's the true epitome of the golden age. So would astrology and numerology, would that just disappear? Could you not measure the golden age with numbers like we're doing now in the dark age? I think that you absolutely can, but you're measuring, like what we're measuring now, we're measuring, you know, dark age stuff, but now there's this beautiful alignment of, hey, we're coming out of that now. And now the ancient stuff that's been around a long time, the things that you and I use, they're coming back as they should. And they're coming back very strong because people are seeing, like, wait a minute, there's merit to this. Like the church, which was developed in the dark age, if you will, they were completely opposed of it, right? And like, that's not something you should partake in. Well, yeah, because you're talking about an organization that was created in the darkest depths of hell, if you will, if you want to look at it that way. Well, when you pull that off and you release that, you're coming out of that trough and you're now moving back upward. And now we're moving up back towards the light. These ancient things that we've been utilizing, as you mentioned, like the Templar, and like, this is why people, I think, are starting to have a reevaluate how they feel about these organizations, because I see still a lot of programming, people wanting to blame these organizations. It's their fault. Oh, there it is. It's the Freemasons. Oh, it's Masonic. Oh, it's the Jesuits. It's, well, okay, great. But you know, these organizations, are they just strictly evil? You know, do they not have any ancient knowledge that has any value of moving back towards source energy, moving back towards the light? And this is, you know, like exiting the matrix. I think as a species, we're doing that now. I think we're doing that right now through the graduation of DNA activation upgrades. And you had mentioned the whole lineup of the Virgo, the planets, the moon, the sun, the stars, the clusters. I mean, as you said, it's not something physically per se, but it's energetically. And now we're getting we're feeling it now. And we're moving through the cycle of time. And I think exiting the matrix is just simply, we're ascending. We're just, as a species, we're now ascending. And what we thought was bad, it can be labeled that way. I think, you know, like, I think Star Wars got it right. I think the Force can be utilized for good or for evil purposes, using these silly adjectives, I think. You know, they can be used for service to self or service to the world. And when you look at the yugas, ladies and gentlemen, the Golden Age, you know, you can relate that to the sun, and then the Silver Age, the next age, is the moon. And that's the bride and the groom. And then the Copper Age, the third yuga, you now have the separation of spirit, because now you're moving towards the dark age, which is just me, I, the separation. And then you get into fear mode, and you get into starvation mode and scarcity mode, and you get into the Kali Yuga, and you get to the bottom of the barrel. But now, as we ascend back out of that, you're moving back towards celestial activity. And I think this is the greatest time to be alive right now, because we're seeing this beautiful shift in people's consciousness now. And we're realizing, wait a minute, there's more to this story than what we were told, you know, and we're having to reprogram ourselves. And I think it's beautiful, the stage of the game for all of us.
I think that in terms of sort of how I place astrology and numerology in the sort of larger context, I tend to go back very much to those ancient texts and to the Gnostic texts, which pretty much gave us a beautiful, you know, right on a silver platter view or interpretation of what is the context of this realm. So I wouldn't necessarily sort of see astrology or numerology as something that is present across time, or something that might be used to decode something. I would definitely say that this is a result of the fact that at some point in time, not that long ago, but sort of not yesterday, a mechanism has been created, and we as the human race have been enslaved. And this mechanism sort of introduced this determinism to it. And there is a reason for this determinism, and there is a reason for, you know, this sort of decision tree, right? Because effectively it operates as if there are only limited number of possibilities, right? So this is why our lives are deterministic. This is not like you're just coming in here and you can do whatever you want, because if that was the case, if that was true, astrology wouldn't work. Yeah. Logan would not be able to decode anything, right? Yeah. I wouldn't be able to tell you anything from our codes. So we know that there is some kind of level of determinism, which is actually very high. So at every point in time, you have only so many options to choose from. Yeah. But that is to me a result of the fact that this construct has been put in place by a very particular aggressor. And we are still dealing with this construct. However, I do not really see that once this construct is lifted once this construct doesn't work anymore, that astrology in the sense of that deterministic mechanism, I don't really see it. I see it redundant because you see that then we are going back to that free will. Then we are going back to that experience. And of course, right now it feels a little bit abstract because we don't know any different. We think we are free, but when you, like I say, when you start studying numerology, astrology, you find out very, very quickly that there is pretty much everything that can be told, you know, about your life by a good astrologer, pretty much to the T, right? So where is that free will? How is that realized? It's an illusion. It is just a free will is what you perceive it as a free will, but it is actually predetermined by certain influences at birth. So that is the illusion of free will. Those influences are the result of the construct. So why would I want, in a golden age or in anything better than Kali Yuga, why would I want some mechanism to predetermine me? This is where the alchemy comes in and say, this world is like not an illusion, as in the whole thing is an illusion, but you are living in that simulated reality. Right. If you sign up to it, and the signing up to it is the effect of the programming, right? And obviously those planets, the technology that's been utilized is streaming upon our third eye. We are picking up certain frequencies, and this is how our lives are directed, and we kind of think that it's obviously our choice. So I would probably say that, to me, when this is over, astrology or numerology are not going to exactly have that same use, or perhaps no use, or perhaps we're gonna go back to observing the sky, but for different reasons, because you see, I also use the sky in the context of those great cycles, but not in the same way, right? Not right. To that kind of evil end. So I would and back to what you said, which is absolutely correct, that why the church has always been against astrology and kind of demonizing astrology. Well, I would say that it was a bit of a tactic to keep people away from discovering that there is a mechanism going on here. So I would probably assume that they knew very well what's going on, and they knew exactly what this mechanism is. So they wanted to keep people away from working it out, which is, you know, one way of doing it is kind of scaring people with the devil. That doesn't work anymore. So this time around, we're gonna ridicule the people who are working with any kind of level of coding, right? Numerology, astrology, we are crazy. So that's the fashion for the 20th century and 21st. Yeah. So I would say that once this is over, we probably will be able to see a totally different lens of looking at the sky and sort of what we can derive from that. And mind you, you know, I don't know if I mentioned that last time or not, but if you, the very interesting thing, on the I think it's 10 francs, Swiss francs, the bill, there used to be, it's either 10 or 1, please don't quote me. There used to be a picture, literally astrology, there used to be a picture of the sun, the planets on the orbit. So very, very clearly a picture of how this reality is managed. That has been recently, in the recent few years, that has been replaced. And the new bill, the new note, is showing some kind of a portal, some kind of like a tunnel with two tracks going in. And the interesting thing, I just recently ran into it because people were kind of raising an alarm that Beyonce at her concert was using some kind of mind control, mind programming with a picture of a portal and two tracks going in. And I'm thinking, this is exactly the same picture. So I'm thinking, what I'm feeling is that they know that this construct, that this reality is not going to hold anymore. Yeah. They are desperately needing to find a different way. Yeah. So you see, I think that to an extent, astrology, numerology, the way we know it now, might be literally terminated. The influences might no longer be sort of operating, But I think, and this is probably where CERN comes in, right, with their little experiments there, I think they are trying to take us through some kind of portal that they've created. They're probably trying to take us into another way where they can control us. Mm. So I think this is a very interesting thing, because it's quite hard to figure out what exactly is this portal, what exactly is that, you know, what is it that they are planning. But clearly what we know for sure is that the way things are is not working for them anymore. It is not supporting their agenda anymore. This is part of the reason why they are getting so desperate, why they are in such a rush, because literally every month is this sort of energetic shift is advancing and it's not in their favor. So I would say that there is very, very advanced plan going on from their side in terms of perhaps shifting us. Are these timelines? Are they trying to shift timelines? Well, what are they trying to do? But at the same time, please do not feel like we have absolutely nothing to do here and everything is already decided. Because like I say, these cycles, these cosmic energies that are coming in, they are very, very supportive to us. The glitches in the matrix, which we've not seen before, right? Mm-hmm. Now they are happening quite a lot, and yep. They've kind of been captured left, right, and center. That energy is already literally destabilizing the matrix, the very fabric of the matrix. So of course this is not for us to just sit back and relax. This is something where like you say, women have to kind of come back, men have to come back, the return of the rise of the titans, right? Yep. That needs to happen here. This is the moment. And absolutely what you say, that some of us are coming here potentially equipped with some information, perhaps not our first rodeo, right? So we are here to help navigate some of those changes. And I'm not just saying me and you, Logan. I think that anybody who is listening are already ahead of the game. So we are the ones that are ultimately probably on the brink of that shift in the right direction.
Yeah. Those are great key points. I totally concur with you. They're losing their grip. And are they, you know, the people at the high levels that have knowledge that you probably don't have, that I probably don't have, right? Like if you talk about CERN, and I have a decode coming out on that, right? Like the Large Hadron Collider, I'd showed in a mini decode that like it's having sex with the quantum realm. It's digging into the quantum realm. The Large Hadron Collider, being 66 in numerology, has a big say through numerology. And if you know what the number 66 is, so are they tapping into a different dimension? And is that the agenda to move you into that dimension? Or is that just part of the larger construct of where human beings are going? You know, as I continue to decode things, I'm utilizing tools. As you mentioned, you mentioned an interesting thing. You said astrology, numerology, will they even be needed? You know, going as you're ascending back up, you know, the rise of the Titans. Why the rise of the Titans? Because we're down at the bottom. You know, we've gone down in the yugas, we've descended down away from spirit, and now you're at the bottom. Well, the only way to go is up now, and that's the rising, that's the resurrection, okay? The resurrection of mankind. You're coming out of the cellar. You're coming out of the downstairs department store. You know, you're moving back up, and as you said, these layers of reality are starting to be dismantled, and as we move up, the frequency changes to a higher frequency, right? And the things that are in the lower frequencies, they're kind of melting away. They're just not relevant anymore. And people are starting to see through the veil. Like everything that I'm decoding, I'm decoding matter. Like it's spirit into matter. And that's, if you just look at the yugas, it's golden age, it's the sun, and it descends down into the Kali, which is darkness. It becomes matter. And when it becomes matter, even with the whole aspect of the ancients being very, very tall, and the yugas talk about this, where in the golden age, you're super tall. But as you go and descend down into matter, you become smaller and smaller and smaller, and you become this physical human being, which is where we're at now. A lot of these ancient texts talk about the ascension process is shedding the physical body, not needing it anymore. And therefore, it's like, okay, we now know that we live, as you said, like, how can somebody who doesn't know you pull up your chart and narrate your life to a very high degree? If you're dealing with somebody who knows how to interpret charts, they don't know you, but how is that possible? Because they're defining your matter. They're defining your physical presence in this reality. Well, as we move away from the dark age, we're moving away from matter. And then we start to ascend, moving back towards source energy. And these tools that we're defining in the presence of matter, like it won't matter anymore, right? No pun intended, right? Because essentially, when we know that we're living in my opinion, we're living in a scripted reality. You're starting to see that your incarnation, when you define yourself, you're starting to see, wait a minute, I have a screenplay here. Like, I incarnate, I do this, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, I'm not good at this. And then you start to see when you decode, you're like, why did I live at this house? Why was I born here? Why do I have this going on in my life? Why do I have these people in my life? Why do I have this person as my best friend? And you'll start to see this is your screenplay and it's defined. And then when you start to realize that you can decode yourself through astrology and numerology, and then you realize, well, wait a minute, I don't like, because for me personally, Ola, I can decode myself day in and day out, and I can see the script playing out my life. I don't ever have to choose dates on the calendar, and then I go back and I decode it, and I just laugh because it was like it was supposed to happen on that day, and I'm not even trying. I'm not like sitting there mapping it out, plotting it out. Like, I guarantee you this podcast, the timestamp, the total timestamp, whatever that's going to be, I just improv them all. I guarantee it's going to have massive significance pertaining to what you and I are talking to. I already know it will, because I'm in tune with this reality and the reality is in tune with me, and the same goes for you, right? But as we ascend out of the Kali Yuga, out of the dark age, is the narrative going to change? Is like, oh, okay, well, now we don't have a screenplay anymore. Is that how it looks, right? Is that why we will not need astrology and numerology to measure anything anymore? Because it's kind of like maybe those will be tools that are become outdated. Like, you know, the physical body is what suffers. This physical body suffers, right? And how do we relieve suffering? Is it getting rid of the physical body and moving towards a more higher based frequency, which is, you know, more just consciousness itself? What's your take on that? Like, shedding the physical body and just moving into, I mean, what does that even look like? But just moving into a conscious-based reality rather than having to rely on this avatar to move around in this reality.
I see what you mean. And again, I would here refer to the fairy tales, you know, legends, stories of different cultures, who are kind of telling a very, very interesting history here. Because you see, what we are kind of a little bit in a trap whereby we think, or we assume, or perhaps this is the official narrative that's been sold to us, that the way things are now, this has been like this for a very long time, maybe always, forever, right? The Kali Yuga. But actually, when you go back, and this is archaeology, suppose that some of the historical texts, a lot of them support that. It is just how much of that is being tampered with and sort of corrupted. So our view becomes corrupted. But the point is that the golden age that we're talking about in the context of yugas, it is not just in the context of yugas. We did have a golden age here, or at least a time that resembled the golden age not that long ago. Patriarchy or the kind of reign of those invaders, beings, if you like, this is not something that goes on for millions of years. So, and even with them being sort of on and off in this plane, we had the time of back, sort of back to 5000 BC, 10000 BC, 15, 20,000 BC, where this reality looked totally different, and we were still physically incarnated here. We find artifacts, and the time that I'm referring to was actually the time, I don't want to call it matriarchy because that's not what it was. It was the time of, I call it the time of reverence of the feminine. So if you look to the artifacts, if you look to the archaeology, we find a lot of examples of that kind of Venus statues, very voluptuous, telling us a certain story, a different story, telling us story. You see, those mystery schools that at some point had to go underground, had to become sort of hidden from that official narrative. Why? Because around 3000 BC, the patriarchy was brought in, was ushered in. Why? Well, it was kind of cascaded from what happened at the level of those beings, whether we call them the Anunnaki, whether we call them the reptilians. Something happened at the level of that race, a conflict between their males and their females. So specifically, the males decided that they don't need whatever the females were, you know, useful for. They can mimic that. They can do that without their participation. So there was this moment of disconnection of the masculine or the males from the females, which was also implemented into our plane, into humanity. So we had the time, and this is where astrology really, really start to, astrology, numerology, those codes, they really start to live their life. So we find a lot of information that kind of dates the astrology, numerology back to 3000 BC, 5000 BC in Sumeria, right? But is that really our only reference point? No, because before that time, we have very clear indication of, well, good times, the kind of golden age, if you like, with people being incarnated. So to me, not necessarily that our world needs to change that drastically, but our perception does. And part of that perception is the fact that we are, and you see, this is part of the secret of the Illuminati connected to light. Why? Because we are captured and we are imprisoned in the light, as in the visible light spectrum. So there is a lot of things that we don't see literally physically, but also there's a lot of things that we are tuned in on that mind level that are literally here to play out the script. I don't want to, as a free being, I don't want to play out any script. I want to have my free will back and I'll be good to go. Yeah. I don't need to, you know, ascend to higher vibration. I don't need to leave my body. I'm good to go if you take away this element of me needing to, you know, experience certain things over and over and over again. I do not subscribe to this whole idea of us coming here to learn, because, you know, there is a lot of accounts that clearly prove that the time of that golden age is even bigger expansion and even bigger growth compared to the time of misery, right? The Kali Yuga. So we do not need those lessons. We do not need that. This has been sold to us as a narrative. So to me, it's not necessarily linked to us physically leaving the bodies, although I know about those accounts with the Maya civilization, etc. But I think, again, we could be looking into that, into interpretations and sort of looking into exactly what could have happened, right? What could that mean, rather than is it necessarily exactly that? So I would probably advocate that this matrix is literally on the brink of being taken down, or being switched off, one or the other. But still, I would very, very strongly suggest that we have a role to play. And, you know, I don't necessarily see, maybe it's just me, but I don't see us in this lifetime making such a leap that we would be literally leaving our bodies, I would more see us going back to that kind of time before this construct was operational, before astrology, numerology were the mathematical representation of that deterministic mechanism in place, which is obviously why is it in place? To harvest the energy, right? To kind of, this is why we keep having the same experiences. I mean, come on, I don't have a flat learning curve. Why do I have to keep going through the same experience over and over again? Because, and why do I have to have certain emotions show up and come up? Well, because this is all in my code. So that is creating a nice food for those who feed themselves from that, right? So this is sort of, this is the way I see it. And I think that going forward, as we are, you see, this even goes beyond how to exit the matrix, because I think that if we can get it right, we don't have to exit the matrix. We will take it down.
Mm. That's a pretty good alternative. Take it down. I think just, it's just being dismantled. Personally, I feel that, you know, the reason why narratives happen on the world stage is through magic, straight up magic. What is magic? Just the exchange of energy and the absorption of energy. That's just magic 101. Someone speaks something, you say, oh yeah, that sounds cool. And now you instantly have a self-fulfilling prophecy, or you add to the self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is where you're going to get into groups, and then you get into cults and organizations and stuff like that. And these are collections of energy, and then they become archetypes, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just in the construct of how this reality works. But we're starting to see this beautiful aspect of like, wait a minute, you know, like they need my energy. You know, their story needs my energy, because if everybody just stopped paying attention to the mainstream, if nobody turned their televisions on anymore, I mean, and I know this is very aggressive, but if everybody boycotted the news and didn't tune into it anymore for like a month, these news stations would collapse. Because how do they survive? They survive through financing, and financing is through commercials, and commercials is through marketing, and marketing is through products. And it's just a big pyramid, right? It's a Ponzi scheme, so to speak. So if everybody stopped tuning into the mainstream would lose its power, because it wouldn't be financed anymore. Because that's how super, like the Super Bowl football, American football, the Super Bowl is one of the most watched sporting events for the entire year. And so these commercials, they end up getting a lot of money. Like, you got to spend millions of dollars for a 30-second spot on this stage to be a part of it. And that's because you have all these eyeballs on this game. And you're getting all of these hits. You're getting all this prana. You're getting all this energy. That's the same way it works for the mainstream. So if you don't pay attention to the mainstream, it loses its prana. It doesn't get the energy exchange anymore. It no longer becomes a high-level archetype. And I think that's how we are exiting the matrix. People are realizing, okay, well, Republican, Democrat, same thing. They're both work for the same boss. Boring.
I know what you mean. I think it goes beyond that, because obviously the fact that, you know, people will tune out of that, and there won't be that financial sort of incentive, and things will just naturally be terminated. I think this is that material realization, sort of that's how it gets done in the physical world. But really what would happen here is that the very mechanism which is designed to keep that attention, to keep drawing those emotions, suddenly is failing, and it's not getting the food. Yep. So I think that the collapse would have happened on a much more subtle level than just the physical. But you see, I think that also assuming or hoping that one day or suddenly the whole world will just tune out, I don't think that's really viable. I don't think that this is, I know the logic, I understand the logic, but yeah, in terms of viability, or even in terms of, do I think this is the way, this is the only way? I don't think so. Yeah. And this is again back to that alchemical side, because magic is nothing else than their response to alchemy. They cannot mimic the alchemy, or they cannot duplicate the alchemy. They cannot perform it, because they do not have, you know, they're not built like the females or like us. So they cannot do that. The best they can do, yes, they can do the magic and the spells, but still, You see, the legends, they kind of tell us, the older legends. I mean, think about it, right? The return of the white buffalo calf woman. Why does a white buffalo calf woman needs to return? Who is she? Well, if you look into the alchemical meaning of that, the white buffalo calf woman is a one aspect of the feminine alchemy. The rainbow warriors, who are they? Well, everybody thinks that this is about some kind of, you know, rainbow warriors coming here, incarnating, saving the planet. Well, actually, no, because that prophecy has been a little bit tampered with in sense of interpretation. When you dig a little bit deeper, the rainbow is not to do, what is the rainbow even to do, right? That's the question. Why rainbow? Rainbow is to do with, again, in the alchemical context, the rainbow is to do with that rainbow bridge, and back to Norse mythology, the Bifrost, the rainbow bridge, linking what? Linking worlds, this world with another realm. But what people don't know is that there is the other part of that rainbow, which goes through the underworld. So actually, the rainbow warriors are, again, it's not some tribe, it's not specific kind of few chosen, it is, again, return of us back into that alchemy. So that wisdom needs to come back, and I think we are very much programmed to believe that the only answer is in numbers. As in, you know, if everybody wake up, if everybody switch off, if everybody could understand, but that's not going to happen. We've seen it over the last 3 years.
Of course, yeah, of course.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
So do we need everybody? Well, actually, we're told by those prophecies, by those legends, that we don't. That we don't need everybody. Yep. It is literally a few is enough. Maybe sometimes the one is enough. You know, in fairy tales, it's always one. That's enough. But that one needs to need to meet certain very special conditions. So yeah, a few probably could do, but definitely not everybody. Again, I think that's taking us back into that mind-based concept that, you know, you fight the matrix from within the matrix. I don't think you fight the matrix from within the matrix. I think you have to step outside of the construct of the matrix and literally unsubscribe to the methods which the matrix suggests, such as let's have an uprising, let's have a demonstration, let's kill the politicians. You're fighting the matrix from within the matrix.
That's right.
If they are using spells, if they are using magic, then we need to operate not on the material level. We need to be on the level playing field here, right? So if they are playing with the magic and spells, we have to play with the energy too. And that's right.
Agreed. That's a great point. We do. Like, yeah, I totally concur with you. I think that's really well said. I think everybody should take note of what Ola just said, because, you know, it's not fight fire with fire. It's a force. You're using the force to create something from. This is why we're having, I think we're going to have free electricity, you know, free energy and all this stuff. This is all, why are all these concepts coming back? Because we're on the ascension now. We're moving out of the pits of hell, so to speak. And we're starting to realize the potential of what it means to be a human being. And once you start to stop paying attention to their narrative, because it's their narrative, right? Like, they're like, exactly. As most of my listeners know, like, I don't get to be a star in that movie. Like, yeah. I just get to be an extra in that movie. That's not a lot of fun. I like to decode it, to see it for what it is. But then, like I said, it doesn't matter if you decode, because you're still going to see the screenplay playing out in your life. The better thing to do is just stop paying attention to their reality, pay more attention to yours.
Exactly.
And then you're now creating the ascension process, or part of the ascension process. And it becomes much more fun. It's like this retreat that you are planning for next year. Like, what's really the agenda behind that, right? It's creating a narrative. And the narrative has the intentions of love behind it. It has the intentions of, like, exactly, this is how life's supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be beautiful and enchanting and magical and mystical. And, you know, that's what you preach. That's what you teach. You know, that's one of your highlights of your incarnation. But if you decided, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to turn on the news and I'm going to make it part of my reality, I'm going to pay attention to politics, and you know, like, you then get consumed by that narrative and you no longer get to be a star. And I know you're not in that, in line with that. And that's what makes you a special human being, because you're doing your narrative. You're playing, you're the star of your movie. And that's what's so relieving for people like you that I see, is that, you know, I know you're doing your responsibilities and you love doing them. And you're not giving your prana away. And I think you know how precious yours is, right? And anybody listening, it's like, why would you give your energy to these archetypes that their job is to, you know, to create from the space of the ego? And that's, again, ladies and gentlemen, the yuga, the Kali Yuga, down at the bottom of the barrel, you're the farthest away from source. So what comes with that? The definitions of fear, scarcity, not having enough, you know, being afraid to be alone, everything that it means to be I, you know, me, myself, and I got to go to work. I got to support my family. I got to do. And obviously these are responsibilities as a human being. Yes. But you know, if you relieve the burden of, it's not about you, you know, this reality, it's not about you in the scheme of things. One day you're going to die. And, you know, like in the physical aspect, and that's it. You know, so it's not about you, but it is. The contradiction is, like, I say to people when I do readings, I'm like, the only reason why this reality exists is because you're engaged in it. You know, your senses are engaged in this reality. Like Ola, I don't pay your bills. You don't pay mine. You don't have to walk in my shoes. I don't sleep in your bed. You don't sleep in my bed. You don't live under my roof. I don't live under yours. You don't have to use my towels. You don't have to wear my bed sheets. You know, like, so like you have your screenplay. I have mine, but here we are coming together sharing, but we both agreed to share this space. So like, you're in my movie, I'm in yours. And we're searching for the same things. We're working on for the same agenda here. And it's a beautiful thing, because we're not paying attention to the agenda that'll keep you stuck in I and the ego and all that kind of stuff. And I think the ego is, yeah, there's a part of it where it's been demonized, but I think the ego is like, okay, well, what makes you happy? What do you want to do in your life? What do you want to be when you grow up? I ask this question to the people I do readings for, even if they're a mature adult. I'm like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because there is that chance or that possibility, as we ascend back towards source, we're going to get younger and younger. Where you're going, because, you know, when you go and look at the yugas, you start at the golden age. Imagine you're like a healthy baby. And then as you descend down into matter, you end up facing death. And death, what does death look like? And one day you will face it as a human being, if this construct remains the same and you know, the holes out. So what does it look like when you face death? You become old and wrinkled, you know, your bones hurt, your joints ache, you know, maybe you have a little pain in your back, lumbar jacked up, you know, that's what it feels like before you die. And then, you know, you can't, the comparison of a baby that's born healthy, that's the golden age. And then the senior citizen ready to die is the dark age. And now it's coming out of that, and you're being resurrected. The resurrection is you get out of the Kali Yuga and you move back up towards source energy. And that's what the true essence of resurrection is all about. And with that comes this special knowledge that is now being gifted back to humanity, where we're like, okay, well, wait a minute. Yeah, astrology is not from the devil. Numerology is not that evil. Secret societies, you know, there was a reason why they got created. You mentioned the Templars, like, are they really evil? You know, are they really people out to get you? Well, yeah, of course there are. But imagine you go back to the golden age or the silver age. What would a secret society look like then? Maybe it was just a school. In the golden age and silver age, you know, before down to the darker age, maybe it was just a school, and this is what schools look like. Schools weren't, you know, like they are now. Mm-hmm. As children, you know, you and I, we went to school, and what did we go to school for? It was mandatory, right? Didn't have a choice, per se. What did you learn in school? You know, you learned all the things that you incarnated in whatever age you incarnated in. The school gave you the tools to survive as a human being, and you could just say we were all born in the dark age. So you're born into a school of darkness. Mm-hmm. So you're utilizing tools to survive in the matrix. Well, now the schools, I personally feel, and I'd like to get your take on this, the mystery schools that are you know, sworn in secrecy and all this stuff, like, Is that the way it works? Are we moving back towards this, and this will be normalized for an education for a child? What's your take on that? Getting out of this matrix.
Well, it's I would like to actually go back to the resurrection theme, which you mentioned, because that's a very interesting thing, which I have a webinar, a whole 4-hour webinar around that topic, the true meaning of resurrection, because like you say, that there is a process of resurrection that needs to happen. And very interesting, because obviously we have this resurrection idea showing up in different times across history, different culture. So this is obviously something that's very, very present. So what does that really mean, right? We have Jesus' resurrection, but he's not the first one. This is not a precedence. We have Osiris, we have Dumuzi with Inanna, we have in the Greek mythology as well, we have Buddha, everybody resurrected. Why is that such a common theme? So then we have to kind of go into this whole concept of resurrection. And in the alchemical teachings, in the ancient alchemical teachings, resurrection, interesting, is nothing to do with the death of the human body. It is, and that's been that kind of macabre has been a sign only at Jesus time, right? And this is where the church comes in, and it kind of gets all twisted and turned into literally physical death and on the cross. But originally, the death is not physical in those stories. Mm-hmm. There is a different death going on here, or resurrection. So the death is the death on a spiritual level, is the death of the soul when you get captured into the matrix, into the net of this reality. What is the net of this reality? Well, you know, watch Matrix or watch any other movie where you see the code kind of flying across the screen, or those sort of squares and rectangles of the matrix, as in literally the net.
Yep.
We have been caught in that net, and just as you extended onto mythology and the legends, what happened with the sirens and the mermaids, right? So the kind of half woman, half fish, when they got caught by the fishermen, they died. They were asking them to free them, and when they didn't, because they were so beautiful, they wanted to keep them, they died. So did they die physically? No, this is again allegory going back to us. There is a story for us that's being told very clearly, which is the matrix, or being caught in this net, meaning being caught, when your soul is caught into this reality and it needs to deliver a scenario, it needs to deliver a script, it is literally being caught, and that free will is removed. The determinism is kicking in. This whole matrix, the fact that you're being mind controlled, and this whole attention is moving up. So you know, when we think about us, we think in the head, right? This is where the consciousness lives, but that's not what the ancients thought. So what happens here is there is a death on the soul level. This is why the shamans would travel to the underworld to retrieve the fragmented pieces of the soul, to kind of put you whole together. Interesting, because they travel to the underworld, right? So the original resurrection would have been literally the resurrection from that spiritual death, from that disconnect from your soul, which is what you mentioned, the theme of resurrection. And so this is literally something that every single one of us should be going through right now, because the death is not physical. That death, in terms of this resurrection, is not physical. Yep. It is the death of, I don't want to call it even ego, but in a way, you know, the death of ego is another big topic, but it is literally taking off that net. It is about taking off that net. And interestingly enough, because it has that underworld connotation, this is why Jesus, before he resurrected, he was taken to the cave, to the tomb, to the grave, right? And then he comes back. So it happens in the underworld. So there is a journey into the underworld. Underworld is an amazing place. This is why I'm doing an event on the whole underworld. Yep. So in each of those stories, there is a woman, right? Mary Magdalene with Jesus, Isis with Osiris, Inanna with Dumuzi. There's always a woman that assists the man in that process of resurrection. Why? Because they navigate them through the underworld, and they, as shamans, and they bring them back. So the point being here, this is exactly the time for that resurrection to happen for every single one of us. It is a bit of a journey. It is a bit of an alchemical process. But like you said, in order to rid those shackles and this net, this is why the Pope is called the fisherman. This is why they wear that headpiece, right? Because the role of the Catholic Church, or any church, any religion, has always been about catching people into the net. This is the same as Nimrod in Babylon. His contract with Marduk was about gaining certain powers if he catches as many souls as he can in a net. So the age of Pisces, the net and Pisces, right? Yep. So the resurrection is literally returning back to yourself, removing the shackles of the matrix. It's a little bit more to explain. That's why I talk about it for 4 hours at my webinar. But the process itself is really, really clear. This is the one of the ways to get out of the matrix. What is that net? It's the programming. It is the way that we are responsive. It is that compatibility of the signal being sent and you taking an action in accordance to that signal, right? So the fact that this is working, you have like an antenna, you have a receiver. So very much based on that illusion of what we buy into, of what we believe. So resurrection, key point.
Due to the length of our discussion together, Ola and I decided to create part 3, which will be released soon. However, if you're watching this podcast weeks after its release, which was August of 2023, look to the podcast catalog on Decode Your Reality. Simply start at the homepage, navigate to the podcast section, and click the View Full Podcast hyperlink. Once you're there, all 3 episodes of Let's Talk About Exiting the Matrix will be in succession for easy access to view.